Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Presbyterian writer Anne Lamott tells the story of her conversion to the Christian faith. She says that she was pregnant out of wedlock. She was drinking too much. She was addicted to drugs. In short, she was living a lifestyle far from God. She wasn't part of any church. She didn't have any support system at all. And then one day, she happened to wander near a church. And yes, it was a Presbyterian church, having worship. And the doors were open, and she heard wonderful singing. And she listened a while and then left. The next week, she came back, remembering that singing. And so she stood at the door again and listened and then left. And she kept coming back, but never went in. Around the same time, she started having this recurring sense of Jesus' presence. And she said it was like a stray dog that was just crouching in the corner of her room, wanting something from her and never going away. And she tried to get rid of that sense of Jesus' presence, but she couldn't. Finally, in a low point in her life, she had that sense that Jesus was following her and waiting and waiting. So finally she said to him, "All right, you can come in." And Jesus came into her heart for good. And all that is part of Anne Lamott's conversion story. And it was several more months before she actually attended worship at that Presbyterian church and eventually grew to call it her home. But they welcomed her even before she got her life clean. That starting point for her was that sense of Jesus with her, part of her. Conversion is a term that we associate with unbelievers coming to faith, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, turning from old ways to a new life in Christ. And this is often, we often assume that this is a dramatic, one-time event. However, that does not match everyone's experience, particularly in a church where people have been attending since birth. May not have any old life to renounce, may not have any spectacular scene of repentance. And here in this room, there may be some people who have had a dramatic conversion experience, and there may also be profound believers without that kind of experience. Both of these are valid ways to enter the Christian faith. People like Anne Lamott, who know the day and the circumstance of their belief, as well as those who cannot think of a time that they did not believe, both are Christians. Our scripture passage today tells the dramatic story of the conversion of the Roman centurion Cornelius. And Cornelius, by the way, is already a man of some faith. He's called a God-fearer, which means he is attracted to the Jewish faith and believes in the God of Israel, but he's not yet officially a Jew. He's not circumcised, so he is still a Gentile. But he is very devout. He prays at the customary hour of prayer, and he has a vision. And in this vision, an angel tells Cornelius to summon Peter. And when Peter arrives, Peter tells Cornelius and all his household about Jesus. He witnesses to them. And then, in response, the Holy Spirit falls upon all those Gentiles, plainly revealing that they are part of the community of faith and that no distinctions should be made between them. It seems that Cornelius and his household have been converted. They've got that sudden experience of faith coming over them. They've got that gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason that Peter is there is because he's had a vision of his own in which he is told to eat some food that Jews traditionally regard as unclean. Those were all the animals in that sheet coming down. But God is doing a new thing. And Peter is told, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And you see, these dietary restrictions and circumcision are some of the things that made and still make Jews unique. Observing these practices as part of their identity, it made them Jewish. But also, early Christians were also Jewish. And so, of course, they practiced those dietary restrictions. And all of a sudden now, God appears to be challenging that way of doing things. By going to Cornelius and speaking with him and baptizing him and staying there for several days, Peter shows that he's understood that vision. He's gotten the message. The Gentiles are not religiously unclean, and he can associate with them without undermining his faith as a devout Jew. Peter has what we could call a conversion of his own. He learns something new and deeply important. He changes the way that he's going to be practicing his faith. But the folks back home, other Jewish Christians, they are not very happy with Peter when they hear this. What is this that we hear you've been doing? They ask him. They're putting Peter on trial. And what Peter says in Acts 11 is his defense. And throughout this, he's emphasizing the role of the Holy Spirit. I didn't do this on my own initiative, folks, he says. God was going ahead of me. I had to follow. You know, this could have split the early church. It was that important. You just don't mess lightly with 2,000-year-old ways of doing things. But Peter and the Jerusalem congregation keep talking to each other instead of talking about each other, as so often happens. At the end of the day, they are converted to seeing things from God's perspective. So this community of faith at Jerusalem goes from criticizing Peter to praising God for spreading the word among Gentiles, for expanding the community of Christian faith to include Gentiles, including at the table. So can you see that? Can you see that Peter and the Jerusalem community are as much converted as Cornelius is? They are utterly transformed by this event. There is no going back to the way things were before. There's still some issues to be resolved, but agreeing that they can eat at the same table as uncircumcised people, that's an important step. It's a pivotal story for the early church, and it will lead to unprecedented expansion and a new identity for the church. The church will be defined by love and inclusion. The church will bring others in instead of maintaining a sharp distinction between insiders and outsiders. Speaking of insiders and outsiders, I know that yesterday's KKK rally in Dayton disturbed many, many people. It's hard to hear about hatred of blacks and Jews and other religious groups. It's hard to believe that still exists. Of course, as a matter of civil liberties, even a hate group may be allowed to gather, but thankfully there was no violence. Christians know that their hate has no place among us. Instead, we are called to open our doors to all who truly seek God, to those who are hanging around, attracted by our beautiful music, but scared to come in, even those whose lifestyle is not perfect. Peter says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him. Here in this place, we're given the strength to change, to accept our continuing conversion. We're fed. We're given a chance to be grateful to God, to draw together with all other believers and learn to grow in mutual love. By Christ's action, we are reconciled with God and others. You see, conversion is not only a one-time thing. Some of us may have had an hour when we first believed, but all of us need converting over and over again. There's always more to learn about how God works in the world. Like Peter, like the Jerusalem community, we may find that if the Holy Spirit is going ahead of us, who are we to hinder God? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.